Come unto me. As we listen to the comfortable word in our first 2 minutes, perhaps we could just think of a time when, rather stupidly, we turned our back on the Lord and went our own way under our own steam. Perhaps quite deliberately, or perhaps just stupidly, and bring that as a burden and lay it before the Lord as we hear his invitation. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. I will refresh you. John chapter 15, the opening verses. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he cleanseth it, that it may bear more fruit. Already ye are clean, because of the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, so neither can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For apart from me, ye can do nothing. I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me, and I in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Perhaps those words are familiar enough to use all of them, but if not, then we can just select the middle one, abide in me and I in you, which would be quite sufficient. But it's as well to have the others at least on the edge of the mind all the time. Jesus invites his disciples to gaze at the hillside around Jerusalem, and there they can see, no doubt, a vine dresser at work. He goes along the row and he has his secateurs, or whatever they used to use, and he cuts away merrily at the growth and eventually ends up with a good pile of material to which he will set fire in the cool of the evening, probably, and leave, of course, a denuded but much tidier line of vines. Well, there is the picture in front of them. Behind them is another one. Behind them is the temple. And over the temple entrance, that is of the sort of main building inside the compound, is this magnificent gold gilt carving of what is almost the national symbol, or was in those days, of Judaism. It is, of course, the vine in that sort of flat triangular space. I'm sure there's an architectural term for it, but I don't know what it is. over the great doors is this carving. Because the vine is the symbol of Israel, and they had all been taught to consider the nation as God's vine, which was planted in the promised land by God. You'll find reference to that in Psalm 80 and various other places through the Old Testament. And then you find echoes of it in the parable of the vine grower and so on. And so there are the two visual aids, one very practical and really down to earth, and the other behind them and the symbol of the nation. And in between is the Lord saying, I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me and I in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. A reorientation of the spiritual attention, as it were, of the disciples of the Lord is here being asked for. And also, of course, the necessity for an indwelling, which will become a mutual indwelling for those who wish to follow the way into God. That really is what it's about. And so, as the vine is prepared by the pruning, the cutting away of the dead wood, so are we prepared, sometimes painfully, for the experience of true indwelling. But then we are given the directive to continue that indwelling. Let us hear that word being spoken to us now in our minds. I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me, and I in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me, and I in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me, and I in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So the row of vines then is cleansed, stripped for action, and then the action, of course, takes place in the Lord's good time, as he sends the former and latter rains in their due season, and in its due season, the vine produces its leaves and begins to look something like, and then in its due time produces its fruit. If a branch dwells in the tree, then the tree dwells in the branch. I found that little phrase in Stephen Verney's book. And one reflects on that in this context. If a branch dwells in the tree, then the tree dwells in the branch. the sap flows through the tree and into the branch. The tree itself is as much a part of the branch as the branches of the tree. Together they are one, they are a unity. And Stephen Verney, having spent quite a long time on Mount Athos, learning the Jesus Prayer, that wonderful prayer which has been repeated by the monks of Mount Athos for over 1300 years, that's plodding on for you. We've got a long way to go. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, the sinner. And the abbot spoke to him about it in these terms, which the bishop didn't really quite understand, not to begin with, not until later on. First, he said, it is me and him. Then it is him and me. Finally, only him. The whole tree, as it were, includes the branch. There it is in its wholeness. But that, finally, it may be quite a long time before it is only him. But that is what we're aiming at, because there is full and final achievement. Without me, apart from me, you can do nothing. All those things we think we achieve, if they are in any sense apart from him, are nothing. That is, they are totally emptiness, of no avail. So we come back to our listening, and more deeply into our hearts we hear the words spoken. I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me and I in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Abide in me, and I in you. Again, before we move into our intercession, perhaps we can put this word to work in a simple situation, something which we must all face, and that is a time of particular temptation which can crop up at any time, often at the most inconvenient time, sometimes when we're least expecting it. And well, there are two things. No, there are three things that one can do. The first is doing the Oscar Wilde, that is to say, you overcome it by yielding to it, which, of course, is totally negative. The second is you suppress it by some massive act of willpower, which might be useful temporarily, but will only push it underground, or rather like underwater, when it will bob up again later on somewhere else. Or thirdly, you quickly face up to the fact that here is a weakness which is obviously pulling one apart from I am, in whom we live and move and have our being. and therefore we immediately grasp the saying, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Abide in me and I in you. And we soak the temptation, as it were, in those words, drench it, and allow the Lord I am to work. Let's just do this for a minute or two as a kind of maneuver, as Robert calls it. We just visualize ourselves facing or caught out by a particular temptation, perhaps a recurring one, perhaps something that doesn't recur so often. And immediately we hear the word spoken. Abide in me, and I in you. Abide in me, and I in you. All you members of the fellowship unable to be at retreat or perhaps even attend prayer groups through disability or some other cause, especially you, Robert, our founder, Pamela, his wife, all you members of our families, those closest to us, those with whom we live, you are nearest, you are dearest. Abide in me, and I in you. All you who work amongst the dying, especially you, Sheila, and others known to us here present, in hospital or hospice movement, in nursing home, you medical staff concerned with terminal illness, and you relatives of the dying, especially any known to us here present. Abide in me and I in you. You who suffer any kind of illness, especially severe, or disablement, you, Maisie and Bill, and you others whom we name now aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we thank you for all your unsearchable riches, which pour forth from you as light from the sun, in boundless generosity, whether received, ignored, or rejected. And we offer to you insofar as we are able, as an emptiness, to be filled with your divine fullness. All that we are, all that we have, and all that we do, that we may abide in you as you abide in us, through Christ our Lord.